smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Dick, how does it look from your vantage point?
It's an amazing scene. It really, really is. You can see people holding hands, hugging, kissing, singing. You can feel all the goodwill and spirit down there. They came to party, and they weren't disappointed.
Oh, my.
I think everybody ought to write it at least once in your life. And never, ever forget it. But it's home.
Nice teeth.
That is so true, Dick. The Don and Mike Show.
Dick.
That is so true, Dick.
You are a cheating, lying whore.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877.
Stop, can't call.
That's right, Ryan.
Not today.
You are a cheating, lying whore.
Ryan.
We got no phones today.
Ryan.
Hold on then. Let me do a quick reset.
All right.
No telephones today. Right. They'll be back up tomorrow.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Cher, and I never listened to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Come and stem their rose, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That is so true, Dick.
Ryan, you are a lying, cheating whore.
We're back, we're live, we're loud, large, we're in charge.
You are a cheating, lying whore.
It's the way the old Dick would have said it to him.
Now, how about you with the cops?
Okay, well, the holiday was wonderful. I enjoyed myself. I got a chance to play Santa Claus, which I'd never done before. That's really how my holiday started, was being Santa for a bunch of underprivileged kids. And it was, you know, when you've got kids that are ages, I'd say 2 to 7 or 8 years old, you know, and some of them, you know, so usually 2 to 6, I think, would be the age where, you know, you're the man when you're Santa Claus. But Carla pointed out when she took a picture of me as I was waiting in the back room for everybody to arrive, and everyone was kind of tardy for the party, and I didn't have my beard. I didn't have my beard on.
Tardy.
And she said that I was really kind of resembling Billy Bob Thornton, because I was angry that people were late, you know, and I'm like, you know, and I, at one point I'm in the back room and I'm going, it's a free party. What the F? And that apparently wasn't the spirit of goodwill,
no.
But as soon as I put the beard on, you know, it came to life. And I popped for a little extra money for the beard this year, because I wanted, you had three price increments. You had the $19.99 beard, and then you had the, I think, like $39.99 beard, and you had the $79 beard. Well, the $79, you know, you're going to wear it once.
Well, so you went for the middle
one,
right?
So I went for the middle one, because, you know, the one on the end just looked like, you know, white string. It really didn't look like it was completely legit. The one that was in the middle had the, you know, the nice curly Santa locks. But you find out when you are Santa Claus, and I have never been in my life, you find out right away that the fascination and also your undoing lies with the fake Santa beard.
Yes.
Because even the youngest child is very curious to,
pull it.
You know, pull at the beard and kind of look up. And the beard is a whole process
what
for
was
Santa
it like?
Claus.
What was it like being Santa at a massage parlor?
It was very, very exciting. The girls were so generous. And you know what they kept saying to me is, like, Santa gets a happy ending.
All right.
Which was very, very good
ho,
news
ho, ho.
For me. Ho, ho, ho.
Did you also have a wig?
Yeah, I did the whole thing.
Right? It's hot, isn't it?
Oh, my. It's hot to the point of I had to go outside a couple of times
yes.
to get air, because it really
it's
overheats you. It's not like even being inside one of those mascot masks. You're wearing everything. You've got the wool on. And when I took the Santa suit off, of course, I was naked underneath.
Of course.
Now, I have my full clothes.
That
underneath.
Is so true, Dick.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan.
What is he, a faggot?
Very happy to be Santa Claus. It went over so well that I even brought it out at the house when we had some young kids over.
Oh,
and
nice.
And then you know, I still have it. It's still up in my bedroom, and I'll break it out for anything. You know, if you want me to use it for the show, I was gonna say that's funny. I was gonna say next year. But I the thing about it is, you know, once you have it, you just I was compelled to stay in it.
Yes.
And I had to be talked out of that. I actually, you know, once the party was over, I'm in this suit. And I'm like, I just want to walk downtown. I just want to walk around, but I didn't do that.
You know, that is as much like when I put my Batman suit on.
You want to stay in the suit.
Yeah.
You want to be Santa. But the Santa beard works like this. And I think if I do the party next year,
mm-hmm.
what I will do is I'm going to really go all out with the Santa beard thing and get that spirit gum and put that because I was so tired of the what's that? And the kid, this kid, like 6 year old kid, like points to the little elastic that's running down from my temple all the way down.
So it goes behind your ear, right?
No, it actually goes over your head.
Right.
So when you put the scent, this is
around,
a good one.
It goes around the back of your head?
The Santa beard, you put it on with it's got a little, not a spring loaded, but it's kind of a plastic mouth opening that you have that has the beard and the mustache attached. And we're talking about the big, bushy Coca-Cola Santa beard.
Right.
And then to secure it, and I didn't know this at first. I figured, you know, you just put it over your ears or something like that. No. What it is, it's got an elastic band that's got almost a skull cap on it.
Oh.
And you put this over your head before you put the Santa wig on.
To hold it tight.
And then when you put the Santa wig over the Santa beard, it's, you know, you're there. You're covered in white fur.
Right.
You look like a legitimate Santa Claus. And then here's what I really did. That this was the real brilliant touch here. Instead of getting the very cheap part of your standard Santa outfit is your plastic fake Santa boots that they give you with every Santa suit that you're supposed to put over your shoes or wear over your sneakers.
Slip-ons to go on top.
It's,
right.
It's not even a slip-on as much as what it is a you pull it up and it rests over your shoe.
It's horrible.
And it's BS. So what I did was...
It's a faux front, right?
Yeah. It's like it spats, you know? It doesn't really look that good. So what I did is I went with the standard biker boots. And if you look at regular biker boots that you pull on, they resemble the standard Santa round boot.
I don't think Santa has the big buckles on the sides.
Now, look, if you really want to nitpick, you're probably right, because it's got the buckle on the side. But what I did was I got the standard biker boot, and I tucked my red jolly pants into it, and then I bought a Velcro white top so that you've got the piping the top. And I swear to God, I'll bring in pictures.
You should have gone on your motorcycle.
Well, see, I didn't want to do that because they do that at certain things. And that's just kind of, it's not really, you know, I chose to walk out from the other dining room.
At what point did you decide to go crotchless?
It was when the heat got overwhelming, when the heat got completely overwhelming, I said, enough is enough. But the thing that I was so proud of the boot thing because the boot, I looked down at the boots and, well, there are two things I noticed about the Santa suit. Number one, the boots looked very authentic. And number two, and this is not, I'm not proud of, no real need for any inordinate amount of padding. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the Santa suit, once it was zipped up,
a little tight.
Was just a tad
snug. You are a jolly old elf.
I am a jolly old elf. And then, of course, the only thing you can't do anything about is the plastic cheap Santa belt that you have.
Right. The big black belt,
that you could tear. You know, you could tear like paper mache if you wanted to.
You know, you could save yourself a lot of trouble and a little money is just start growing your beard now.
Yeah, but, I don't think it would be the classic white beard. I have a gray beard, but I don't think it would be. I think it would be salt and pepper.
We could bleach it.
I don't want to bleach it, Rob. I want to use, you know what I want to do? I want to use the same kind of makeup that Tom Cruise uses in all of his movies when he grows facial hair so I can have the phoniest looking beard humanly possible. Because Tom Cruise always looks like an 8-year-old boy when they put the fake beard on.
God, there's so many great stories about him. I didn't mean, Mike, I'm sorry. What was the one today? Tom Cruise's baby is really fathered by the sperm of L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Yeah, artificial insemination from L. Ron.
Thank you.
And he is the second most powerful person in the Church of Scientology.
Right.
And who else? I saw pictures of two guys. My name is Earl. Jason Lee's
into that.
Is a Scientologist, along with Boiler Room, Giovanni Ribisi.
Oh, really?
Huh. He's a Scientologist also.
A little rat guy?
Yeah. Now he's a little rat guy, yeah.
Well, you know, he kind of looks like a rat, doesn't he?
He's a little pasty guy.
Yeah.
But So I didn't wear the Santa suit to the company Christmas party, even though I was somewhat motivated. But
how was that?
Oh, you know what? Look, if you want to throw, and this is a message to Michael Hughes, if you want to throw a great shindig for a bunch of people for three different radio stations that don't know each other, do two things.
Okay, let me write these down.
Write this down. This is a note to all executives that are running big companies. And if you have when you're combining, first of all, combine three radio stations.
Like 150 people.
Make sure that a lot of people don't know each other. Then you put people on a boat and make sure that the party is on a boat where no one can leave.
A cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. A cruise ship, and not a real cruise ship, a riverboat. You know, a riverboat, which a very nice one. Was it the Spirit of Washington?
That's the one. Yes, that was
the Spirit of Washington, and put everybody on that boat, and then
nice trade deal.
And then to make double sure that everybody has a great time, you offer a cash bar.
Oh.
That's another thing.
Once the free tickets,
you're
right?
Harassing me.
Yeah. Oh, the free tickets. Yeah, we all.
Everybody gets like one.
Everybody was handing out. You know, they said it. Did anybody pay for any booze on that thing at all? Because everybody said, everybody was bitching at the beginning that it was a cash bar, but then everybody starts handing out tickets,
drink
like for free drink tickets.
Right.
And in fact, you know, some of the executives like Hughes were walking around with all these drinks. Now, did you get some free drink tickets?
I didn't bother to pursue it. No, I had.
Well, Buzz, when you go to a party, you don't have the need that I do.
You get one or two to start with, and then after that, you're on your own.
At one point, the general manager of the boat, and we were very fortunate because the guy that runs the boat was a big fan of our show. Very, very excited about our show. As a matter of fact, not only did the general manager walk up to me, hand me a business card.
Hey.
Now, this was like, no, wait a minute. This was like, this was a big gold, this is a gold ticket. This was the e-ticket. And he said, he calls one of the bartenders over, and he shows him the card. He goes, see this one? If he shows you this card, he doesn't need a drink ticket. And I immediately said to the guy, I said, you rock, dude, you rock. So I'm flashing him the card all night long, and I didn't have to worry about the drink tickets. And then the captain of the boat, I guess the same. No, one of like the ship's mates. I was a little drunk, so it's hard for me to remember exactly what happened. One of the ship's guys came and said, the captain wants to know if you would like a tour of the bridge.
Joseph
of the Spirit
Hazel
of Washington.
Hazelwood.
Hazelwood.
It could have been. And the only person that was standing close by me that was there, Buzz, you had ventured off. You know, on one of your missions. You know, I know you were. You
people to
Buzz
meet.
Buzz was hunting.
Stuff to do.
Buzz was at his Christmas party scavenger hunting.
You are a cheating, lying whore.
See, to me, a boat full of strangers who can't get away is perfect.
Yeah, you were just.
I swear to God, you look like one of the handsomest guys I've ever seen.
Buzz and I arrived there at the same time, but then Buzz was just like a bloodhound. Just going out on the trail.
Just making
so sense. When this guy walks up and says, hey, would you like a tour? He didn't have a foreign accent, but he should have. Would you like a tour of the ship's captain's bridge? The closest person standing next to me was Matt the Pollock.
Oh.
So I brought Matt the Pollock up. And Matt the Pollock was really, you want to dress for a Christmas party? You get Matt the Pollock to give you the lowdown on that.
What was he wearing?
His same Kevin Arnold shirt that he used to wear when he was here all the time.
That's true.
You know, with sneakers.
Nice.
I mean, he looked like somebody just, you know, scraped them off their shoe.
I'm not happy.
But, you know, I love the kid. So I said to him, come up to the bridge. I said, it sounded like.
No, that's so funny. Come to the bridge. What was it?
It sounded like this.
Like,
come to the bridge with me.
It was like three switches and a steering wheel.
No, this was a big ass boat.
Yeah, it is.
This is a big ass boat. This boat had two Christmas parties on it. Do you realize that? I mean,
excuse me.
On one level of the deck, they had ours with the three radio stations, and I figured we'd get the whole boat. And on the second level, there was another party going on. And then on the third level, it was an empty deck.
Well,
they
I
didn't have
corrected.
A party going on.
I mean, I knew that CBS cared. I've seen the ads. CBS cares.
That's
I
right.
didn't know they cared quite that much.
They didn't care enough to get us the whole boat. Would have been a little less claustrophobic.
Less confining.
Yeah, it would have been fine. So we go up to The claustrophobia was relieved when we got up to the bridge, and smarmy Mr. like I've got a one-liner for every occasion. Matt was up there just cracking wise as he's often wanted, you know, really with the captain of the ship. And I regretted bringing him into the little cabin.
Yeah.
But they pointed to this wooden steering wheel, and I'd had enough cocktails where I said, "Oh, can I steer?" So I went over there, and I immediately, like a little kid, started playing with the steering wheel.
Uh-oh.
And then I realized that these ship's mates are laughing at me because the guy is steering the ship with, and it's not a ship, it's a boat, and he's steering it with a little joystick.
Remote control?
A little remote control joystick. That's how he's controlling the ship.
So it doesn't really matter what way you're turning the big
wheel? I felt like kind of an ass, and then Matt made another smart-ass comment, and then we left. Shortly thereafter, that was. But it was. But a good time was had.
But
by
if it was a 3-hour cruise,
it was.
As I heard it was,
mm-hmm.
and it started at about 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Right.
7:00. How did you end up out until 3 a.m.?
Well, I ended up after the boat was docked. I ended up going out with CK and some other 12-year-old people that I didn't know.
That was a great meeting of the mind. How did that go?
I don't remember. I remember that. I remember that I was driven back to Fairfax, and then the couple that dropped me off went back in CK's direction. But I made it home just fine, you know, because there was hot coffee waiting for me at the radio station, and I caught a quick nap, and you know, and I was right. I was A-okay.
And
I was
100%,
and then the chopper that flew me back home was 100% A-okay.
Medevac.
I was medevaced back. It was a delightful time. I don't remember. You can't ask me about whence the boat docked, because that was a trip to another bar. And then home, what a day. You know me, Don, I don't like the party to end.
Right.
And, the funny thing is, I was bitching probably the loudest when the boat left the dock about the fact that, so we're basically prisoners on this thing for 3 hours. And then when the boat pulled into the dock, I was probably the one that was going, it's over already?
You always do that.
Exactly. It's over. It's over already? I can't believe that. Why are you hanging me?
Well, we come back, we'll find out what problems you got to do with the cops.
That was, yes, once I got down to my sister's place. And incidentally, Kathy,
yeah.
When you're going to have a New Year's Eve party, and I don't want this to be a recurring theme. I don't want to make it sound like I drank my way through my holiday.
Yeah,
no. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
What I will tell you is that really when you're going to have a New Year's Eve party, one six-pack of beer normally does not a party make.
Huh.
Just a little note, okay? I didn't want to drink rum. But
oh,
I had
no.
to. You know why I had to? Because it's all she had.
It's all there was. You were forced to.
It's all she had. I was drinking rum when I was watching Dick Clark's Chiclet Teeth.
Straight rum?
No, a little tonic.
Rum and tonic?
Rum and tonic is a very popular drink in the islands.
Oh, what were they?
Come on now.
Were they out of Aqua Velva? What's the stuff that Betty Ford used to drink?
No, it was Kitty Dukakis.
She drank scope, right?
She drank like Aqua Velva.
That was it.
That's exactly what she drank.
To get the alcohol out of it.
Yeah, I was not going to go for the plaques. I was not going to be drinking that, you know. You can crush all the candy canes into that, and it's still not going to taste good. I've been there. Candy canes and plaques.
Oh, God.
Right. Hey, your intestines have never been cleaner.
You are a mess. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.